There's a medrash in the beginning of this coming week's sedra that the sedra starts with the mitzvah bikurin, bringing the first fruits to the temple. And the medrash says, "Asay mitzvah zu, do this mitzvah, for observe this mitzvah, and in its merit you will inherit and conquer the land. Will be able to settle in Eretz Yisrael." There's only one problem with the Medrash, and that is that the mitzvah Bikurim did not take effect until they were already in Eretz Yisrael for 14 years. They conquered it in 7 years and divided it up in 7 years, and after that point, the mitzvah took effect. So how could this mitzvah be the merit for conquering and settling Eretz Yisrael if it didn't start to be observed until after they conquered and settled the land already? That's the question. So, in order to understand this, I want to explain the following. The foundation of the mitzvah Bikurim basically is the concept of Hakaras HaTov, gratitude, recognizing good, recognizing the fact that the Ribono Shel Olam is the one who gave us Eretz Yisrael. He gave us the fruit and the bounty. It's not kochi va'otzim yodi. It's not the result of our own power and strength that we were able to conquer Eretz Yisrael, settle it, and even plant this fruit and get the produce. And a person comes to the Beis Hamikdash with his first fruits, and the Torah describes it as the fruits asher tovi me'artzecha, the fruits that you will bring from your land, asher Hashem Elokecha nosin lach, which God is giving to you. And the Akedas Yitzchak says what it means is the following: you may think it's your land, but the truth is that the Ribono Shel Olam gave it to you. You're not the one who conquered it with your own might. You're not the one who produced these fruits with your own power. But all of it is a present from the Ribono Shel Olam. If you recognize that present, right, then you deserve having the land. And that's what it means. Do this mitzvah means if when you are conquering Eretz Yisrael and you are settling Eretz Yisrael, you have in mind that in the end you're going to bring your first fruits to the Beis Hamikdash and thank the Ribono Shel Olam for giving you the power to conquer it and the power to settle it and the power to be able to bring out produce, then in that merit you'll have Eretz Yisrael. Right? In other words, if you have this mitzvah in mind when you're doing all these things, and don't take credit for yourself and don't think that you're the one who is causing all of this, then you'll have the merit of settling Eretz Yisrael. And this is the meaning of the following medrash. The Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the Beis HaMikdash was not going to last. The Jews eventually were going to go into Golus. He prophetically saw this. And therefore, he instituted that they daven 3 times a day to take the place of Bikurim. Now, what's the question? What's the connection between bringing your first fruits and davening 3 times a day? But according to this idea, the whole idea of tefillah, of davening to the Ribono Shel Olam, is a statement that we need God, that we can't do it on our own, and to have a recognition of the benefit we get from the Ribono Shel Olam. And the Ramban, in the end of Parshas Bo, says the following, amongst other things: the kavonas kol hamitzvos, the purpose of all the mitzvahs, shenamin belokeinu, that we should believe in our God, the noda elov, and that we should thank him, shehu baranu, that he created us, the hi kavanas hayitzira, and that is the whole purpose of creation. God created beings that should recognize that they are dependent on him and thank him for the goodness that he gives them, not for his sake, he doesn't need that, but for our sake, that we should then have a connection to God. She'ein lanu tam acher b'yitzira rishona, we have no other reason for the initial creation except for that. Milvad ze sheyeda ha'adam v'yoda lelokav shebro, right, that man should recognize that he's a created being and thank the Ribono Shel Olam for creating him and for providing him with everything. The kavanas romamus hakol betfilos. Here's the main thing, and that is the reason that we gather together and we daven with a loud voice, right? We daven out loud. The kavanas bote knesios. This is the purpose why we have places to gather and to daven. Uschus tfilas harabim, and why we gather together and daven in a multitude of people. In other words, not just alone in your house. People should gather together and vocally admit and thank the Rabbanu Shalom for creating them, right? And to publicize this and to say before him, we are your creations. And that's why tefillah has to be done out loud, because you have to make that declaration. Rabbanu Shalom, I need you. I believe that you are the one who provides for me. And I thank you for creating me. And therefore, by Bikurim, we have the same thing. The Anisova Amarto, it says that you should come with your first fruits and say loudly, proclaim, right? Higadati Hayom, that I am not a ungrateful. I recognize that I receive these fruits from the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and I am proclaiming my gratitude for him. And that's why it says higadati. The word hagada means to testify. I'm testifying to the fact that this is not the result of my work, but it's a result of what the Rabbanu Shel Olam gave me. And since people like to take credit and like to feel that they are the masters of their own fate and don't want to admit that it's the Rabbanu Shel Olam who runs the world and that they are beholden to him, so therefore you have to say it out loud in order to fight that Yetzer Hara. You can't just whisper it. You have to make a strong statement. And that's why Haggadah is also it connotes something strong, a strong statement. Because since the Yetzer Hara is not to admit and to take credit for yourself, you have to combat that and go against it with a very strong statement, as if you're testifying. And that's why the whole idea of tefillah is based on three concepts. Hold the questions until the end. It's based on three concepts. One is we start our tefillah, Shmoneh Esrei, which is the main tefillah, with praise of God. And then we have in the middle asking for our needs, both our individual needs and our communal needs. And lastly, we thank God. And the idea being, the first you have to realize that the Rabbanu Shalom is the one who provides for you, that you praise him and you realize who he is, what he is, what he's capable of giving you. And then you realize that you're dependent on him. And you ask for the things that you need to make that statement, I need you. And then you thank the Rabbanu Shalom for all the bounty and the things that he provides for you. That is what tefillah is. And since Bikurim, the foundation of bringing the first fruits, is this idea of gratitude based on the fact that I recognize the fact that this is not my doing. All of this was made possible by the Rabbanu Shalom giving me the power to conquer Eretz Israel, to divide it up, to settle it, to plant it, and to see the results. Right? So if there's no Bikurim, then tefillah, then davening, takes its place. And that's why when we Pesach night at the Seder, we recount the exodus from Egypt, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? It's also the idea of recognizing the fact that we are a nation only because the Rabbanu Shel Olam made us a nation and took us out of Egypt. And therefore, the parsha that we say it, the Haggadah, is the same parsha they said by Bikurim, because it's the same concept. And it's called Haggadah. It's a testimony. I testify and I say it out loud and proclaim it even to others, that I thank the Rabbanu Shalom for making us a nation, because we didn't make ourselves. We're not a self-made people. We're people who are made by the Rabbanu Shalom. Just like God created us and he provides for us, he created us as a nation also. And that's why the mitzvah Bikurim follows the mitzvah to remember Amalek in the end of last week's Sedra. Because Chazal say that with all the evil of Amalek, the foundation of what Amalek was is Kfuye Tova. They were ungrateful. In other words, they didn't recognize the fact that what they had and what they were came from God. And they took the credit for themselves. They thought they're self-made people. And therefore they looked at everything in the world just as happenstance and coincidence. And they were the ones who were the masters of their fate. And not that they were being given things by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Therefore they denied God completely. So their foundation of the evil of Amalek is a denial of God, which means being ungrateful. The opposite of Hakaras HaTov. And the truth is, this is the foundation of all sin and all destruction, comes from people being ungrateful. If you'd be grateful and recognize the good that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives you, and the fact that you have nothing besides what He gives you and what He makes you and what you are, then you couldn't sin. Sin is a total ignoring the fact that you're dependent on God. And the Tomer Devorah says that if a person would think, right, when he sins, right, what he's doing, right, you're eating a ham sandwich. Okay, so first of all, who made the ham? God. Right, who made the sandwich? God. Okay, who gave you the power to chew? God. You could have tetanus, you know, and not be, have lockjaw and not be able to chew. So God gives you the power to chew. He made these things. He told you not allowed to eat it. Right? He gave you the ability to taste it and to swallow. So you're using all the things that God gave you, all these tremendous benefits, to rebel against Him. Who could sin if they would think about that at the time? And that's why it says, Yod HaShor Koneo, the Navi Yeshaya, before the destruction of the temple, pointed out that an ox knows whose owner is. And a donkey at least knows who feeds it. Has that gratitude to know who feeds it. But you don't even know that, right? Because you didn't think into it, you have no gratitude. You don't even understand where your sustenance comes from. And that's why when we give somebody malchus, lashes, for sinning, so we hit him with a whip made from a donkey hide. Because of this, because most sins, if not all sins, come from a feeling of ingratitude, of being ungrateful. Because if you be grateful to the Ribbono Shel Olam, how could you sin against Him? And therefore the Chazal say also, Adam HaRishon, the first sin, the I hate to say original sin, but the first sin in the world, right, was because he was Kafui Tova. When he was asked, why did you eat from the tree? He said, well, the woman you gave me, she caused me to do it. Right? He blamed it on her as if the ungrateful to the great Tova the Ribbono Shel Olam gave him, giving him a mate, giving him a spouse, right? So the sin came from being ungrateful. And the Mishnah's Rebbe Lezer says the following, Ein lecha kosher lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoser mikviyas tova. There is nothing more difficult, worse than being ungrateful. Lo nitra adam harishon migan eden el al kviyas tova. Adam HaRishon was not thrown out of Gan Eden except for the fact that he was ungrateful, and that led him to his sin. Af avoseinu bamidbar lo kos aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu ela al kviyas tova. Our ancestors in the desert, the main things that God got angry about is the fact that they were totally ungrateful. They complained about the mon that they got. They had no gratitude to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ukshehayu avoseinu be'eretz lo hayu Rov Chatosim Elikvias Tov. Even when they came into Eretz Israel, most of the sins came from a ingratitude, from not being grateful to what the Ribbono Shel Olam gave them. Mipnei Shehu Ke'ein Kfira Be'ikar, because being ungrateful is like denying God. If you really believe in God and you understand that He created you and He provides for you and everything you have from Him, right? Then if you're ungrateful, then it's like you deny all of that. And kolakofer b'tovosher shechaver, and therefore somebody who has the quality of being ungrateful, right, doesn't have the quality of gratitude, and he's not grateful and recognize the good that people do for him. So he's just like he's sofo kofer b'kadosh baruch hu, he's going to deny God. If you can't have that quality of being grateful to somebody who does good for you, then you're not going to be grateful to God either. And if you are not grateful to God, it basically leads you to deny God completely. And therefore a person who is a kofui tova, a person who's ungrateful, can't accept upon himself the yoke of God's kingdom. The opposite is also true. A person who recognizes that he is the beneficiary of tremendous good, I mean just the basic good that he has life, that he's around, right, besides all the other good that he has, and he doesn't feel that I am the master of my fate, and everything I have because I got it, or because it's coming to me. You could also not recognize good insofar that you feel that magiali, it's coming to me. So there's nothing good about it, right? It's what I deserve. So either of those things, a person has a very miserable life. Because if you think that everything deserve everything, or that you're the master of your fate, there's nothing to be happy with what you have, right? All you can do is complain about what you don't have. But a person who realizes that he's a beneficiary and he really doesn't deserve anything, and everything he gets is a tremendous goodness, then he's happy for every little bit that he has, and it's a very happy life. And that's what it says. What can a person complain, right, if he's alive? Be happy that you're alive. What do you have to complain about? Right? Don't complain about the 10% you don't have. Be happy with the 10% you do have. And that also leads to a feeling of indebtedness. If I really realize that I am the beneficiary of God's goodness, He gave me life, He gave me all the other things in my life, then I'm indebted to Him. I owe Him. Right? That's also part of Hakaras Tova, part of gratitude, is to feel that you're indebted to the person who gave you all that good. And that's why when we want to thank God for good things that happen in the time of the temple, we bring a sacrifice, a korban toda. Because a korban, the idea of a korban is mamish to give yourself over to the person who gave you good. You're indebted to him. So a korban means to sacrifice, to give yourself over. If you are a beneficiary, you recognize good that you got from God, so bring a sacrifice, you're indebted. Give yourself over to Him. That's the idea of a korban toda. And I think that's what it means. Instead of bringing a korban toda today, we don't have sacrifices. So we have a bracha that we make, birchas hagomel. Something good happens to you, you're saved from danger or whatever, you made a trip and you made it safely, so you bench gomel. The birchas hagomel says, hagomel lechayovim tovos. So the simple translation of that is, the one who bestows goodness on people who are guilty. And it's as if you're saying, really I shouldn't have made this. Really I should have perished from my illness. I shouldn't have made it through. Really I shouldn't have made it through the trip. But God's very good and He permitted me to get well or to make the trip or whatever. They ask on that, you're not allowed to say such a thing. That's pischum pelesotin. Person's not allowed to say, well, really, I deserve to die or deserve to be harmed, but thank God I didn't. Because you don't open your mouth and say such a thing and lead yourself to admit or to put in the sultan's mind to say, well, maybe you're right. Maybe you did deserve to die. You don't say that. It's called pischum pelesotin. So the question, how you could say that? I think it means something different. Gomel chayovim tovos means chayev doesn't necessarily mean guilty. Chayev means indebted. When God gives something good, then you're indebted to Him. You owe Him something. He gave you, you owe Him back. So it creates a responsibility. And that explains a parsha in the Torah this week, Sedra, the parsha of Vidui Maaser. Says that after the third year, there's a 3-year cycle of giving the tenths or tithes to the Beis HaMikdash. The first 2 years you have to give the first tithe and the second tithe. The first one goes to the Levi. The second one you bring to Yerushalayim and eat it there. The third year of the cycle, you give the first tithe to the Levi, and the second one you give to the poor people. And then the fourth year starts the cycle again, fourth, fifth, sixth year, same cycle. And the seventh year is Shemitah, there are no tithes. So at the end of each cycle of 3 years, and in the fourth year, you come to the Beis HaMikdash, and you make the following declaration. Biarti HaKodesh Ben Abayis, I've removed all of the holy food out of the house, the things that I'm not allowed to eat, I have to give to the Kohen, the Levi, the poor person, or whatever. Or I had to bring it to Shalim and eat it. I've done everything. I didn't forget anything. I didn't transgress anything. I did exactly as you told me. That is the declaration you have to make. That declaration the rabbis call vidui meiser, the confession of meiser. So the obvious question is, what kind of confession? Imagine coming to Yom Kippur when it comes time for confession, and you say, God, I looked over the year, I did everything right, didn't forget anything, exactly what you told me, I confess, I'm a tzaddik. That's confession, right? That's not, why is that called confession? Why is that vidui meiser? So there are many answers, but I think an answer could be, I come and I say, Rabbanu Shel Olam, you gave me so much good that I had a tenth to give to this one, to this, that one, or whatever. You gave me all these good things, and you told me to, from what you gave me, to give a portion to other people. So I'm not really giving for myself. I'm giving a portion of what you gave me, and I have such gratitude to you, right, that I feel indebted to do what you told me. That's what it's confession. I'm confessing my liability, my responsibility. It's a confession of accountability. I'm accountable to you. You gave me everything. You just said part of that I want you to give to this one or that one. Like somebody gives you a present of $1 million and says, look, $1,000, right, or $100,000 of that million, I want you to give to so-and-so. So you are accountable to that person. He gave you $1 million. The 9/10 of it's yours. The 1/10 he told you what to do with. So you have to come and confess that you're accountable, right? That's the idea of vidui meiser. I confess, Rabbanu Shel Olam, that I got so much good from you, and therefore I owe you. And if you told me what to do with a portion of what the good you gave me, right, then I have to come and confess to you that I did it properly. That's a confession. Confession is a confession of accountability, a confession of being beholden to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. That's why it says when you take the tenth from your animals, the way you do it is, you don't just have, you have 100 animals, take out 10. But you count them one by one. One, two, you let them go through the stile. And the tenth one, that's the one that becomes meiser, the tenth. And with that, you have to bring it as a sacrifice, give it to the Kohen. Give it to the Kohen, he brings it as a sacrifice. So he asked, the tells Rosh Hashiva asked, why don't you just count up your sheep and take a tenth? Why this whole process of make? He said, because it impacts on the person the following. One for me. Two for me. Three for me. Five for me. Seven for me. Nine for me. Oh, and one, God told me to do something else. Then you realize, you know, if otherwise, why not take out 10 of my animals and give them to a Kohen? But if you realize that God gave you one, two, three, nine, and the tenth one he told you give to the Kohen, then you feel indebted to him for the nine. How could you not do what he asked you to do with the one that he asked to take out? It's all coming from God. He could tell you to give all of them away. He gave you nine of them, so give one to the Kohen. And therefore the Abarbanel says that the foundation of loving God and fearing God, okay, is based on Hakara Satov. Why do I love God? Because he does so much for me. He gave me my life. He gave me everything that I need for my life. Whatever I have. Right? So I love him. And I fear him because how would I want to be ungrateful to him, right? And do things that he doesn't want me to do. How much of a kofli tova, how ungrateful could I be? That's fear of God. So the simple level of love and fear of God is generated by being grateful to God and not being ungrateful. And therefore the Chafetz Chaim adds that not only is love and fear of God generated by being grateful, right, but also belief in God. Because if you deny the goodness and you don't recognize good, the only way we recognize God is through his goodness. Can't see him, so you can recognize the results of what he does. The basic what he did is he created you and he provides for everything that you need. So he's HaTov, he's the good Omeitiv, and he does good. So we recognize him as the Tov, as God, good, from the good that he does. And that's where the foundation of the word God comes from good. And the foundation of recognizing good is not even being grateful. It starts way before being grateful. It starts with just recognizing that I received something, and not feeling it's coming to me. If you feel that everything's coming to you, you don't recognize that you got any good from anybody. This is the way it should be. But if you recognize that nothing is coming to you. You didn't have any claim of being created or being born. So the fact that you were given life, were created and born into this world is a plus. It's in itself a good. And anything else that you have, what's it called? You're a beneficiary. But if you feel that it's coming to me, right? It's owed to me. So there's nothing to feel grateful about. I got what I deserve. Or if you feel that you're the one who causes it, then I don't have to be grateful to anybody. I can take the credit for myself. And that's why when you bring Bikurim, so you have to recount your history. Where did the Jewish people come from? How did we get this land? Arami Oviravi originally, right? Yaakov Avinu was in a very precarious situation, and his father-in-law wanted to kill him. And because of that, they went down to Egypt, and in Egypt they were enslaved, and finally God took us out. I think the idea is the following. Sometimes a person can look at the facts on the ground now and not feel that he owes anybody anything. I planted this field. I worked on it. I brought the fruit. It's all my doing. And you feel that you're very much in control, and you didn't get anything that anybody gave you, right? But trace it back. Lemaisa, where'd you get the field from? What were you like before you got this field? What were you like before you got Eretz Yisrael? Well, go back a little bit, and you'll see that nothing was coming to you. If God didn't intervene and take us out of Egypt and save us from Lavan or whatever, and bring us to Eretz Yisrael with all the miracles, you wouldn't have a field. So you can look at the very small portion in front of you and feel that you don't owe anybody anything. You did it. But if you go back a little bit, you'll see that the events that led to what you have now are events that were totally out of your control, and that you are the beneficiary of what the Ribbono Shel Olam gave you. So if you look narrowly at just, you come home with your paycheck, right, and you say, well, I worked and I made money. You're very nice, but when you were a little kid, you couldn't work. Who gave you the chance to grow up, right? There's so much in life that you can't take the credit for, and without those things that you can't take, there's nothing you could have done now to take any credit. So if you trace back the history, you'll come to the realization that whatever you have, whatever you think that you caused, lemaisa, there was a lot behind that you didn't cause at all, that you were able to do what you did now because of things that you received in the past. And that's why the Rambam says it's important to remember the times of misfortune in the times of good. If you want to really thank God for the good that you get, you have to realize that all that good isn't expected and isn't something you could have caused, because there were times when there was misfortune and you had nothing. So if you have something now, you can't take the credit for it, because who took you out of that misfortune that started? Whatever the misfortune was. It's not just that contrasting the bad times with the good times makes you feel better about the good times. But it makes you feel that the good times, right, come as a result of those bad times going away, and that wasn't your doing. And that's why it says that most of the Bikurim, Sasemis points out, were brought before Rosh Hashanah. They were brought from Shavuos till Sukkot. So people usually brought their Bikurim, right, since the Shavuos was the time of starting the first fruits. Most people didn't have their first fruits ready by Shavuos. When's the next time they came to the Beis HaMikdash? And they had to be brought before Sukkot. So the next time, right, was Rosh Hashanah. So people would come Rosh Hashanah with their Bikurim. So it says that in order to really accept God's kingdom, you have to feel grateful to Him. Right, because why in the world would I want to accept the yoke of God's kingdom if I don't owe Him anything? But if I owe Him everything I am and everything I have, then I want to be part of His kingdom and accept the yoke of His kingdom. I'm indebted to Him. I owe Him something. So therefore, the whole foundation of Malchios, which is what Rosh Hashanah is all about, is Hakara Sato, is recognizing good. So therefore, the Bikurim were brought before Rosh Hashanah to emphasize this idea of Hakaras HaTov, of being grateful. And that's when a person can have a happy life. If you recognize how much of a beneficiary you are, how much benefit you get from the Ribbono Shel Olam, right, and you're appreciative of it, then you can be happy. It says you can be Sameach Bechelka, you're happy with the share, with the portion that God gave you. You're not complaining about what you don't have, but you realize that whatever you have is a plus. And that's why it says the result of the Bikurim is V'Samachta B'chol HaTov, be happy with what God gave you. If you recognize the good, then you can be happy with it. Right? And that's why it says when you bring your Bikurim, you're giving them to the Kohen, you're giving them to God. But it doesn't say that. It says V'Lakachta Mipri, you should take, not give. Because the whole idea of giving is predicated on the fact that I know that I'm taking, like we said with the 10 animals. This is mine, and this is mine, and this God is giving me. I'm taking all these things. And God just wants one of them, right? He just wants a portion, a 60th of the fruit to go for the first fruits, right? How can I deny that? How can I refuse that? I'm taking so much. So my giving, the Bikurim, is a recognition of how much I'm taking. So V'lakachta, when you'll take from the fruits of your land, right, then you'll appreciate what you've benefited, then you'll want to show your gratitude and bring the Bikurim to the Ribbono Shel Olam. How do you come to be a person who's grateful, both to other people and to the Ribbono Shel Olam? One is, it says you have to have a good eye. You have to be generous, positive. Negative people only focus in on what they don't have. And positive people focus in on what they do have. If you focus in on what you do have, you'll be able to be a person who's grateful for that. A second thing that you have to have is to be a giver, not a taker. If you're a taker, then you think that everything's coming to you, and you just want to be a receiving station. But if you're a person who feels that whatever he has, he has a responsibility to give to others also, and you're willing not to just look at yourself, but be a giver, then you're able also to understand that maybe not everything's coming to me, and I have to be thankful for what the Ribbono Shel Olam gives me. If I can be a giver to others, I can also appreciate being given to by others. And the next thing that a person, brings a person to Hakaras HaTov is Anivus, being humble. Because if you're too haughty, you think, again, everything, I deserve everything. Right, magiyali, right? I'm entitled. And if you're a humble person, then you don't feel entitled about anything, and you're happy for what anybody gives you, whether it's God or other people. And therefore, Rosh Hashanah, where we celebrate the creation of man, right, and everything the person is, you celebrate on Rosh Hashanah. It's not just that man was created and judged or whatever. It's just that this is the day of creation. I really feel a tremendous gratitude to the Rabban. That's why I accept his kingdom. I want to be part of that kingdom because look what I benefit from it. So it's a day of Hakaras HaTov. And Yom Kippur is a time of feeling gratitude for the spiritual things that we have. That the Ribbono Shel Olam forgives our sins and he gives us the ability to start again spiritually. So Rosh Hashanah is a thank you for the physical things. And Yom Kippur for the spiritual things. And therefore, in Elul, when we prepare, what do we say? Ki avi ve'imi azavuni. If my parents abandon me, God will accept me. Meaning, honoring a parent is the idea of being grateful. I'm grateful to my parents. They brought me into this world. So it's an idea of Hakaras HaTov. Okay? But I realize that even if my parents abandon me, God's still there. So my Hakaras HaTov to the Ribbono Shel Olam is way beyond my Hakaras HaTov to my parents, because God made my parents. Without God, my parents couldn't make me. So therefore, even if my parents abandon me, which is the foundation of Hakaras HaTov, God is still there. So preparing for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is preparing to be able to be grateful, to recognize good. Okay. And therefore, that is the avoda of Elul, right? And the preparation for being judged is at least God is going to wants to judge you and decide to give you good things. At least be appreciative of them. If you appreciate them and you're grateful for them, then you'll act in a way that you deserve them, and you'll act in a way that you will deserve them. You won't want to rebel against God if He's the benefactor, your benefactor, right? And therefore, as Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur come, we add to our tefillah. We said in the beginning that tefillah is an expression of Hakaras HaTov, of recognizing the good that God gives. I praise Him, I recognize what He can give, and I then say that I'm dependent on Him, and then I thank Him. That's the whole tefillah. So we add tefillah. Slichos is an additional tefillah in preparation for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And on Rosh Hashanah we add extra brachas into our tefillah. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is extra tefillah because it's also extra hakaras hatov, extra gratefulness and recognizing good. And if we do that and we work on the midah of being grateful both to people and to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, then we'll be zocheh to be able to have a successful Rosh Hashanah and successful Yom Kippur and have plenty to be thankful for and to be grateful for in the coming year. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. A follow-up question. You said, you know, during benching Hagomel, what we shouldn't say is that we really deserve to die, but thank you,
right.
Hashem. But
right.
Isn't that what we say during Rosh Hashanah?
We don't say we deserve to die.
It's not that we deserve to die, but we with all of our averas,
yeah,
with all of our sins, we don't deserve to be forgiven. But in your compassion, you
right.
look.
But we don't.
Look at the,
right.
The
but we don't. We don't enunciate. That's called pisum pel. We don't enunciate what bad could come to us. You don't want to
okay.
say it because then it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Okay.
You could say I don't feel. I don't feel. Worthy, but not that I was chai, I'm guilty, right? If you're guilty, then you are passing judgment on yourself that you're guilty. And that's not a good thing to do.
Okay, and then when is the proper time and place for one to feel pride in their work? Is that when they show strength and withhold themselves they should feel pride? Is
no,
it
pride, I can feel, look, I can feel a fight. I have free choice. I feel pride that I made the right choices, and therefore the Rabbanu Shel Olam gave me what He wants to give me, and I enabled Him to give me what He wants to give me. So I don't take credit for the results, but I take credit for making the right choices in order to get those results.
And really, that's the only time to feel pride, when we make the right choices.
Yeah, pride in the fact that I can serve the Rabbanu Shel Olam properly, that kind of pride is fine.
Okay. And then you also said, I didn't understand the correlation with the lashes, which is why we use
because
animal.
we use the donkey's hide because it says a donkey knows who feeds it. Donkey has at least that basic gratefulness,
okay.
gratitude, and you didn't have that gratitude, so you're hit with the hide of the donkey.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm going to say what the Rosh said about saying out loud. Davening, because let's say
we're
ladies,
we're
in shul, we say it quietly. So
no, out loud doesn't mean you yell it, but it means you say it audible enough for you to hear it. In other words, I'm not just thinking it, but I heard myself say it. If you didn't hear yourself say it, you just thought it, it's not really real. But when you say it out loud, meaning that your ears, it's audible, right, then you know that you're committed to what you say.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Higher in terms of serving Hashem, serving Hashem out of fear or out of love?
So there's two
not
levels.
Two
right. There's a level of fear where I'm afraid that I'll lose out if I don't do it. That's a low level. Then there's a level of love where I'm doing it because I have a tremendous respect and admiration for the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Then there's a higher level. That's called Yiras HaRomamus, where I do it because I am in awe of God. That's the highest level. So the higher level of yira, which is awe, is greater than love, but the lower level of yira is less than love. So there's no contradiction, it's two different things.